This teaching is brought to you by Christian Family Church International.
Father, I come before you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let your presence overwhelm us in this atmosphere. I give you all the praise, all the glory. So grateful for the passion of Christ. For what Jesus did for us on the cross, the suffering, the pain, the crucifixion. He said, I make all things new. So tonight, I submit myself to you, Holy Ghost. Teach through me this word. I pray in the name of Jesus. Receive it now. Receive it. Let the Holy Spirit minister to you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We give you all the praise, all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, let's give the Lord a mighty shout of praise. Amen. Wow, presence of the Lord, amen. You may be seated, family. Praise God. Let me just thank Reset. Thank you. Let me just thank Apostle Theo and Dr. Bear for the privilege and the honor to teach this subject to you tonight. Wow, I just sense in my heart God's going to do something here tonight. I don't know what. But we started a new series. Let me start there. During this Easter period, and it's called Jesus Is. And in this time, we're going to be looking at four things over 3 weeks, that Jesus is first of all the Son of God, and that's what I'll deal with tonight. Secondly, Jesus is the Son of Man, and Jesus is Lord of all, and Jesus is the Lamb. We know that the Son of God deals with his divinity. The Son of Man deals with his humanity. The Lord of all deals with his duality. And then the Lamb deals with his sacrifice, the sacrifice that he had to make. Amen? So tonight, our title is called, Jesus is the Son of God. So many people talk, and you can watch it on Facebook and Instagram and all over, where people challenge other people, especially non-Christians, to say, show me in the Bible where Jesus said he's the Son of God. And tonight, I'm going to give you about 30 scriptures to prove to you that Jesus is the Son of God. Why is that important for us to know? Well, for a couple of reasons, and maybe I'll get to it a little bit later. But let me quickly give you an historical perspective so we can understand why we have to understand the topic of Jesus as the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Lamb, and Lord of all. Why do we have to understand this in the season of Easter or Passover? Well, in days gone by, is that the tent of meeting of the Old Covenant, God chose that would be the place where he would meet the children of Israel. And that was the old covenant practice. First of all, he said, it will be a place of my presence. So God only manifested at the tent of meeting. Secondly, it will be a place where he dwells. They would then see a physical coming down of a column of fire or smoke or whatever it is, and they would know that the Lord is in the tent of meeting, and Moses had to be there when the Lord is. So he was confined to that place. And then thirdly, it would be a place of sacrifice and offering for sins. And that's how God put it in place in his relationship with the children of Israel. But today in the new covenant, we have a different, because when Jesus died on the cross, something happened. The first thing that happened, the veil was removed. The veil, in actual fact, tore in two, and now we can go in, or there's nothing that separates us from the Holy of Holies. And so we can go right into the presence of God. It's different from what it used to be. Secondly, Jesus no longer dwells in a tent, or God does no longer dwells in a tent, but in our hearts. Amen? And the law is written on our hearts. And thirdly, Jesus has become the ultimate sacrifice for our sins. The Bible says, before the foundations of the world, It was established that Jesus would be the sacrificial lamb. You see, God does not operate in time like you and I understand time. He knows the end from the beginning, all in one. Now the creation happened. Now, all in one. Time limits us. Time gives us perspective. Time can measure things. Time can do all kinds of things. But in God's world, there's nothing like that. Why is it important that Jesus was the sacrificial lamb? Because of old, not with the blood of goats and calves. That is how they made atonement. Atonement is another word to say they covered up the sins of the children of Israel. They would atone for it. They would cover it for a year. That blood of the animal had the potency for 1 year only. And every day, on the day of atonement, the high priest had to go back in and make atonement again and again and again and again and again. But with his own blood, Jesus, look, it's in capital letters, he entered the most holy place, because the Bible says in Hebrews, there's an exact replica of the tent of meeting or the Ark of the Covenant in heaven. And on that, he takes his blood, he enters the most holy place in heaven once and for all. He did it once and for all, once and for all. He took his blood with him, obtained eternal redemption for you and I. So Jesus took all his blood. So all these guys that say they got some blood and they did DNA testing and this and that, I don't know if that's true. But the Bible says, yeah, he took all of his blood. And he put it on the mercy seat in heaven. And so when God sees the blood, he no longer is judging us for our sins, because it's no longer that what is important. It's now that Jesus paid the ultimate price. Now, as I said before, it's no longer your sin that will send you to hell, but you rejecting what Christ has done for you and I. Amen? We have to receive what Christ has done for us. So how do I know that Jesus is the Son of God? That is the question really that we've got to be looking at. In the book of Mark, a book of Mark is such a great place to start your study. If you're a scholar, or if you want to read for the first time the Bible, then I would say go to the book of Mark. It's such a great book to start with. So how do I know that Jesus is the Son of God? Look, I want to show you three portions of scriptures, all in the book of Mark, all right? And let me show you. In the beginning, in the book of Mark, it says this: the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. All right? Then it goes on to say, you are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased. This is now God speaking. Amen? You with me so far, family? So in John 5, it reminds us that these words actually means many more things. It means this. This is why the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, Jesus. Because not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. So this is what Jesus did. He is the Son of God. It says so in John. And then Jesus was making himself equal with the Father. He said that. Then we look at the end. At the end of the Gospels, we see the following being said in Mark 15. And when the centurion, this is at the crucifixion of Jesus, who stood facing him, Jesus, on the cross, saw that in this way he breathed his last, Jesus, he said, this Roman centurion, truly. In other words, it was not a Jew that said this. It was not the Pharisees that said this. This was an atheist, a Roman centurion, that said, truly, this man was the Son of God. Amen? So Mark is framed with the truth about Jesus. But perhaps the most pressing declaration of Jesus' identity comes from the lips of Peter, his beloved disciple, in the middle of the gospel. And Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, which is the north of Israel. And on the way, he asked his disciples, who do people say that I am? And they told him, John the Baptist. Some say that you're Elijah. And others say, one of the prophets. And he asked them, but who do you say I am? And Peter answered him, you are the Christ. So here we can see Peter, the beloved disciple, under the unction of the Holy Spirit, because he did not come up with that by himself. makes that declaration of who Jesus is. You see, you are the Christ. All of us will have to answer that question one day or the other. Amen? You are the Christ. You will have to make that statement. You are the Christ. You are my Lord. You are my Savior. Come and live inside my heart. Just like Peter did, we all have to make that declaration. But it's not as simple as that, okay? Because when you summarize these three scriptures in Mark, all right, because people would say, is Jesus was maybe a good man. Yes, he was this, he was that. Some people say, no, Jesus was a bad man. He was just a heretic. He was this, he was that. And we say, in summarizing all of those scriptures now in Mark, we say, no, Jesus is more than that. Whatever accusations they could lay at his feet or at him, he is more than that. Jesus is the Son of God. This is what those scriptures say. He is the Savior of the world, and he died for our sins. Yes and amen. I was watching The Passion of the Christ yesterday again, just watching it again, and I saw again just how much Jesus suffered for us. I don't think we can understand the suffering and the pain that he went through. You know, and as I'm watching it, I'm just weeping. And it's just so amazing what Christ would do for us, what he did for us. We must declare the truth of who Jesus is. He is the Savior of the world. He is God. He is the Son of God. He died for our sins. Amen? So the Son of God is a concept in Christianity that seems to stem from a belief that God exists in the Trinity. That's how Christianity believes. One God with three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. It is different than the references to individuals called sons of God with a lower S, lowercase s, sons of God or children of God. That word sons of God just means a person that is in right standing with God. Sons of God means a human in right standing with God, sons of God. Amen? Which commonly refers to mortal individuals. But when I look at it as the Son of God, and it's a capital S, that immediately tells me that the S stands for God made flesh. Because only when it refers to Jesus Christ is the capital S used in a good translation. And when you see the capital S, the Son of God, it refers to God made flesh. That's the translation or the understanding of that. So we can know when we see the Son of God, it is talking about Jesus, the God made flesh. Now, for those of you that believe, or all of us that believe in the Trinity, it is the second in the Godhead, Jesus is. Jesus claimed to be the Son of God, okay? Jesus claimed to be, or claimed the special title, or this relationship of sonship, and equality with the Father. He goes on to the Father in love. And he has a unique access to the Holy Spirit. While believers are part of the family of God, Jesus Christ asserts a uniquely oneness in the family with the Father in communion with the Holy Spirit. Amen, family? Look what it says here in John. It says, Jesus claims to be the Son of God, yes. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I and the Father are one. He asserts that here. He tells people, God is my Father, I am the Son. Like we are one, I and the Father are one. So he asserts that statement right there. Then it goes on to say, and he said, Abba Father. Now he calls God Abba Father, his Father. All things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. So he submits himself once again to the Father. And here we know Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's going through the worst time just before the crucifixion, I suppose that would be the worst. But through a time of turmoil and pain. And yet, he says, yeah, once again identifying Abba Father. yet not what I want, but what you want. And Christ most probably had a right to say, let's stop it right now. This is a little bit too much for me. Amen? Goes on to say, again, the high priest asked him, are you the Christ? I'm talking about Christ identifying himself as the Messiah, as the Son of God. Again, the high priest asked him, are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? Notice the capital S, not talking about a person that's in right standing with God. And Jesus said, I am. And you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven. At this moment, the high priest tore his clothing because in his mind, this was blasphemy. Jesus is equating himself to being God, the Son of God. Amen? You with me so far, family? Okay. So the Bible verifies these claims primarily by seven proofs, including the testimonies of others, supernatural actions, prophets, all kinds of other people. They prove that this is true. And tonight I'm going to give you seven proofs that Jesus is the Son of God. All right? Seven proofs that Jesus is the Son of God. So write down or follow in your notes. The first one is there were supernatural beings that testified to this fact. Okay? So even before his birth, Jesus Christ held the title of the Son of God. Remember, he was before the beginning of the world. So when the angel Gabriel came to Mary to give her the good news about, hey, you're going to be with a son, with a child, that she would be the mother of Christ, the angel made the assertion twice. Let's look at it here in Luke. It says, he will be called great and he will be called the Son. Notice again, the capital S, the Son of the Most High. Goes on to say, therefore the child to be born will be called holy, the Son of God. Amen? So during this time, Jesus would cast out demons during his time of his ministry. He would cast out demons. And these demons would recognize him. Look what it says here. And the demons also came out, many crying and saying, you are the Son of God. Remember that, family? So as Jesus was casting out the demons, they knew who he was. And so they would refer to that, and he would quiet them and say, don't say a word, don't say a word. But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak because they knew that he was the Christ. Goes on to say, yeah, and whenever the unclean spirit saw him, they fell down before him and cried out, you are the Son of God. Notice again the capital S. In other words, not just a man in right standing. They did not see him as a man in right standing with God. They saw him as the Son of God, God in the flesh. Are you with me, family? Number two, the second group of people that saw Jesus and that could testify and speak and give proof. So if I was in a court case, this will all be part of my evidence to prove that. So the prophet John, or John the Baptist, he affirms this claim. His voice is the one making a way in the wilderness. And look what he says here. And I have seen and I have borne witness that this is the Son of God. Number three, the apostles and the disciples. The apostles and the disciples followed the Lord Jesus Christ. They absorbed his teachings. They witnessed the miracles. They were with him all the time. He would feed them, then send them away. Then he would be part of prayer, whatever he might do. But they were always around him. And notice what they say. And these in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God, capital S. So they realized this is God in the flesh. But he goes on to say, but who do you say I am? Peter answered, and that is our answer, you are the Christ. You are my Savior. You are my Lord. You are the Son of the living God. Amen, family? Beyond the claims that Jesus Christ is the Son of God in the Bible, there are moments, now I want you to listen to this now, there are moments in time, in history, that documents evidence verifying it by action, by aspects of Christ's power and his character. So a lot of things is what he did, what he demonstrated and how he moved and did certain things. It's verified and documented by that. In other words, I can prove that this is what happened. Look at this. Number four, proof, the virgin birth. We see here the Holy Spirit, the angels spoke to Mary. She was with child, or at that time not yet, but she was betrothed to Joseph. Now that would have been a very embarrassing situation for Mary to be with a child and nobody would know how did this happen and you're not yet married. So the angel tells her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. This is once again proof, because they were not married. They did not have intercourse, because only afterwards did the Holy Spirit say to them, you must marry her, but you are not to have any contact until after the birth. Because as you know, Jesus had brothers and sisters. Amen? And so here we see the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Amen? This miraculous nature of Christ's conception affirms the supernatural nature of Jesus. Number five, his consciousness of his pre-existence. Okay? He was always aware that he pre-existed before the time. Let's look at some of the scriptures, okay? Because some might argue that Jesus might have been the Son of God, but he's not one with the Father. One third of the Trinity is Jesus, amen? So the Bible says here, he said to them, you are, this is Jesus arguing and having discussions with the Pharisees. He says, you are from below, I am from above. You are from this world, I am not from this world. So he also directly states that he coexisted with the Father before time. Even when he was in prayer, he said, and now Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. So here he confirms. So when you and I were together, before the world existed, we were together. We planned it then that I would come and I would be the same. So I'm asking, glorify me in your presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. So because of his actions, because of his character, because of certain statements, certain things that were documented, we can see that Jesus had a consciousness of his pre-existence. Make sense? Okay. His acknowledgement of this a paternal relationship is very important, because it is God the Father is his father and not Joseph. And that proves that Jesus is the Son of God. Amen? Number six, the power to forgive sins. Now, in the Old Testament asserts that only God had the ability to forgive sins. So any good Jew would know, any good rabbi would know, nobody can make that statement. Only God can do it. Okay? And here we have confirmation in the book of Isaiah. God says, historical fact, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. So here's a confirmation. The Lord speaking, the Spirit of God speaking through the prophet Isaiah, confirming that God has the right, has the power to blot out your transgressions and your sins. It is the Lord who dispenses mercy and forgiveness, and him only. Therefore, it would have been blasphemy for anyone to claim to be able to forgive sins. Amen? Now, this knowledge sheds light on several instances in the gospel. Okay, where Jesus asserts his sonship, okay? I mean, look at the story of the paralyzed man that came through the roof. The Bible says, and when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. So he dealt with the sin issue right there and then. Now you will know from Apostle Theo's teachings, before anybody can receive the healing, you got to deal with the sin. That's why you got to confess your sin. I'm sorry, I repent, I ask for forgiveness, I let go of that stuff. And then healing can just come, because it's the sin in your life that sometimes blocks healing or the flow of healing in your life. Amen. But here, he forgave sins to prove that he is the Messiah. But just so that you guys don't get confused, Pharisees, I can also show you. Take up your mat and walk, and he's healed. Amen. The scribes were not wrong when they asserted that only God can forgive sins. By forgiving the paralytic of his sins, Jesus claims his place in the Godhead as the Son of God. He did it publicly because it says, perceiving what they were thinking. So he didn't say, okay, guys, sorry, I made a mistake there. I didn't mean it like that. He knew what they were thinking. And so he sets himself or positions himself as the Son of God in the Godhead. And the witnesses glorified God because of it. Amen. Number 7, the Father publicly claimed him. Proof that Jesus is the Son of God. Perhaps the strongest evidence, family, that Jesus is the Son of God comes after John the Baptist baptizes him in the River Jordan. This is also an example of the Trinity in full operation. And look at this here. It says, and Jesus, the Son of God, saw the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven, the Father, said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Amen. And God the Father reiterates this claim, this overt claim of a father-son relationship. And he does that during the transfiguration on the mountain. He says, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. So we see on two occasions, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. At the baptism, at the transfiguration, he says, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. So God claimed Jesus as the Son of God in two public displays. Amen, family? Now, for the Christian today, it means our faith in him for the security of salvation is well-founded. So, here we have the example of Nicodemus. Let me just say this. Okay, he was declared to be the Son of God in power. This is Paul speaking. I love this. He was declared to be the Son of God, Son of God, Son of God, God in the flesh, in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Messiah. So Paul confirms that. So how do I receive this? Let's look at the story of Nicodemus. We know that Nicodemus was a man of the Pharisees, ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night. We can preach all about that later on. And said to him, that Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher. Come from God, recognizing he is the Son of God. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? I mean, how does that work? I don't understand that. Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That is referring to, first of all, the natural birth and then the born-again, Spirit-filled experience. Jesus goes on and explains it. He says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. Just like Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, and whoever looked at him or the snake on the stick got healed. You remember that story? So also, the Son of Man, the Son of God, must be lifted up so all who see him will be healed, will be saved. So we see here, because Jesus is the Son of God, God in the flesh, he is the only one that can reveal the new birth. like he revealed it to Nicodemus. So we see family. Let me say this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Love this. That whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. His only begotten Son. So that no one will perish, but have eternal life. Because Jesus is the Son of God, God in the flesh, we can be born again. So let me wrap it up. Let me wrap it up. Bring the piano a little bit more up. Thank you. What are the aspects of salvation? The first thing is that heaven is a free gift. And God wants you to go to heaven. Did you know that? But you cannot earn or deserve heaven. Secondly, we have all sinned. We fall short of the glory of God. You cannot save yourself. You cannot say, today is a good day. I think I'm going to get born again now. Today I'm going to go to heaven. Christ makes available that for us. Thirdly, God loves us. He doesn't want to punish us. But God is just, and he must punish sin. Can you see the dilemma that we have so far? God wants to do all these great things for us, but it seems like we fall short every time, every time, every time. So God brought the solution, and he sent Jesus to leave his deity, his powers in heaven, come to this earth, be born through a woman, to become a man, so that he can die for our sins, so that he can become the sacrifice for our sins. Jesus is our sacrificial lamb. And when we celebrate Easter or Passover, or what you want to call it, but I like to call it rather the Passion of Christ, because he did all of these things, proved all of these things, went through a terrible, tormenting punishment because he had to pay the price. You see, family, God cannot come and die as God because it's not possible for God to die. But when he left his power behind, his deity, and he came through a woman into this world as a man, Jesus, as I said to you, the seven proofs that Jesus is the Son of God, he discovered, he had a consciousness of his pre-existence. He knew that he was the Messiah that is prophesied of. And so Jesus, as a man, can now die without spot, no imperfection. He's the sacrificial lamb. He's the one that can do it for us. That's why Jesus had to come, to pay the price, so you and I can go free. Because you and I cannot pay for our sins. We can try, but we're going to spend a whole lifetime in hell. In actual fact, you will never be able to do it. Because as I said in the beginning, under the old system, the blood of bulls and rams is not enough, does not have the potency to redeem me from the curse or from sin. It only had the power to cover up, to make it last for 1 year. And then the potency was not enough. But Jesus, when he died, he went to hell in our place, was tormented, took authority over the devil. And when he arose, he took his blood with him and he puts it on the mercy seat. So God no longer looks, because there's no more law, because the law is written in our hearts. So when Christ puts the blood on the mercy seat, God passes over us like the children of Israel. But this time, it's once and for all. It's not repair. Jesus doesn't have to come back and die again. Amen, family? Jesus is the Son of God. He did it once. Come on, yes, give your Lord a great... Jesus is the Son of God, God in the flesh. If you're here tonight, every head is bowed, every eye is closed. If you're here tonight, you say to me, Pastor Johnny, I don't know Jesus. I'm so grateful that heaven would be a free gift, but I realize I can't earn or deserve it. I have sinned. I cannot save myself. I know God loves me, but he's got to punish sin. And I cannot pay off that debt. It's impossible. I need a mediator. I need a savior. I need someone that will stand in the gap for me. I need someone whose blood is potent that can take away, redeem me from the curse, take away my sin forever. And Jesus came as a man, not as God. Why? So that he can sympathize and empathize and know what we are going through, so that blood can flow, that his body can be beaten. The Bible says in Isaiah 53, God was pleased to crush him. He crushed the sin that was on Jesus' life. And for a moment in that, because sin separates you from the Father, the Bible says in Isaiah 59, Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And for the first time, he experienced separation from the Father. He did it for you and I. If you are here tonight and say, Pastor Johnny, I do not know Jesus. Well, I used to serve him, but I've done so many stupid things. I've done so many bad things. I just keep on sinning, and I'm not repentant, and feels like it's just, I'm struggling in this area. I want you to know that the blood of Christ can set you free, can heal you. Whatever it is that you're struggling with, addiction, hey man, we've got freedom groups that we can help you with. I think they're starting one of these days. Curriculums. You might say, but Pastor Johnny, I'm addicted to pornography. I've got this issue, I've got that issue. Well, there's gonna be a couple of guys around that's gonna say, hey, I thought I was the only one. You too. If you're struggling in the area, then come and join us on Freedom Groups. But first, tonight, we want you to make right with God. So if you are here tonight, you say, I don't know Jesus, but I would like to meet him. I want all these benefits. Or second, you say, I used to serve him, but I no longer do. I've backslidden, I'm struggling in my areas. Can he save me? Can he forgive me? He can. Today can be your new beginning. You can be free. Or perhaps you just need to have assurance of your salvation. That if you were to die tonight, would you go to heaven or hell? And you want to be sure of that, then we can just enter into a prayer and you can have that assurance. So at the count of three, every head is bowed, every eye is closed, wherever you are, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand if you would like to accept any one of those three invitations. One, two, three. Raise your hand wherever you are in the name of Jesus. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. I see those hands. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Now workers are moving in and amongst the seats. They're coming to lay their hand on your shoulder. They're merely coming to agree with you in prayer. That's so powerful. We will never know the price he paid. If you want to be included in this prayer, family, then raise your hand right now, wherever you are. Raise your hand one more time. I'm going to give you the opportunity. All right. Now I'm going to ask those people that raise their hands, I'm going to ask you to say this prayer out aloud. And for your benefit, I'm going to ask everybody else to join in, because we've all done it before. So I'm just going to ask everybody to join in. Are we ready? Let's say this. Father in heaven, I come to you in the name of Jesus. Lord, I have sinned. Please forgive me. You paid the price, dying on the cross, going to hell in my place so I can be free. I thank you, Father, that Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. I believe it in my heart. I say it with my mouth. And from this day, I promise to serve you with all of my heart. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us during this episode of Living Life with Dr. Theo and Bev Vollmerens. We hope that through this inspired teaching, you had an encounter with God. If you enjoy the teaching ministry of Apostle Theo and Dr. Bev Vollmerens and would like to enjoy more resources, We hope you will visit our website at www.christianfamilychurch.co.za or for our American listeners, www.christianfamilychurchsa.com.